And now, straight from Beacon Hill.
This is State Senator Bob Hedlund, Republican of Weymouth.
Well, let's be clear that it's the Republicans that have been in charge of this project.
I'm the Secretary of State, Lord T-Bar Carl's Jr.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because they pay me every time I do. It's a really good way to make money.
Or a silly bill.
A silly bill.
Yeah, it's like when I had a bill that had to do with, you know, circus animals.
It's time for the State House Report.
Yes, I am a Republican in Massachusetts, believe it or not.
Here's State Senator Bob Hedlund.
We welcome State Senator Bob Hedlund once a week as he gives us details, whether it's something happening within his district, something happening up on Beacon Hill, or, hey, who knows, a Rand Paul sighting. Senator, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing pretty good. From what I understand, this week is when your branch of government gets a chance to, I guess, talk about the FY 2014 budget. Give us a little bit of a preview of what we could see from the Senate.
Well, you've got that right, Kevin. In fact, I just heard on another station over on the AM dial that unfortunately received higher ratings than this show. They mentioned that the Senate budget was completed. So you've got it right, and someone over in the AM dial who makes a bigger paycheck than you and me combined has it wrong. Just so you might want to know that.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. Is there anything in particular that you're looking for, as far, or that you're looking to talk about, debate, or that you're hoping to maybe add as an amendment?
Yeah, well, there's only four Republicans out of the 40-member Senate, as you know, and the bulk, certainly the number of amendments we've offered exceeds our numbers. A good portion of the percentage of the amendments we'll debate starting on Wednesday has been filed by the Republican caucus or individual members of the Republican caucus. There's a lot we're going to get into. For instance, there was some minor EBT reforms passed in the House version of the budget. The Senate version of the budget includes none. We are going to try to advance a lot of EBT reform measures in the Senate version of the budget. We'll have debate on that. A big thing that I've actually been successful on in the Senate a number of times that the House hasn't taken up is a measure to verify one's legal residency before one receives state-subsidized housing here in Massachusetts. It's insane that we have a situation where you do not have to provide your Social Security number if you do not want to when you apply for state-subsidized housing. And as a result, we have example after example of illegal aliens living in state-subsidized public housing when we have 100,000 people on waiting lists statewide trying to get in. So you can be a veteran who served your country. You can be someone who lived in a community your entire life and be down on your luck and apply for local subsidized housing. And someone who came in the country illegally, theoretically, can get it over you. And it is happening, and it just happened in the town I represent. So we're going to be having a major debate on that. In-state tuition illegal aliens, the governor, as you know, last year, after the legislature had recessed from formal sessions, he bypassed the legislature and issued an executive order allowing in-state tuition for illegal aliens. We're going to have debate on that and a whole myriad of other things.
What's being done, whether it's, have you taken a look at the budget, the governor's budget, the House budget, and the one that your branch of government's going to put forth? Where do things stand on local aid? Because I've had a chance to watch a couple of town meetings, and the first finger that's pointed when towns can't give it, you know, can't keep the departments fully staffed, or it's a battle between departments, is that they're not getting enough money from the state. Is there enough money in this particular budget that can go back to the cities and towns, or is that still a main issue?
Well, you have seen an explosion in the state budget. I mean, when I took office, we were looking at $12 billion a year state budget, and you know, what are we now? 3.5 times that, and local aid just never seems to be a priority by the folks who kind of control the vote. I mean, we have a lot of things in the budget, and we have debate on how to prioritize things.
Okay, I want to kind of shift gears here just for a second. Anything further on the budget, and any debate that we could see on Wednesday, or anything that could be put forth that will be a majority of the arguments on the floor?
Well, there's one thing that the average voter and citizen will find interesting. As you know, the governor proposed a nearly $2 billion tax hike, and the Senate and House leadership got together and put forward a $500 million tax increase, which passed. Yet there's a conference committee that's been appointed to work out the differences. I'm on the conference committee to work out the differences between the House and Senate version of that $500 million tax increase. And amazingly, we have not met. And the Senate budget includes $500 million in revenue from that bill, which has not become law. So we're going to do a budget that includes an assumption of $500 million in revenues from a bill that has not been passed in its final version by either branch of the by the Senate or House or sent to the governor. And the governor, you know, had made noises about vetoing it because it wasn't up to the full $1.9 billion he'd requested. So I don't know how you do a budget like that. It would be like you putting your household budget together saying, well, I might get a raise in a few months, but I don't know.
Is there any kind of bets going on, or is it friendly bets that, you know, the new fiscal year budget might pass before this bill?
Oh, it will pass before this bill. I mean, we're taking it up on Wednesday, and there's no signal as to when we're supposed to get together as a conference committee to work out those differences.
Okay.
Yet they're including that revenue in the budget.
My last question to you before I let you go, and that is, we have the folks coming in regards to Save Duxbury's Trees from NSTAR. We got folks from NSTAR who are going to be calling in as well. Give me your thoughts on this. I know this is part of your district.
Yeah, well, when you have them in there, ask them about, if you get a hold of the NSTAR people, ask them about this double pole I'm looking at directly across the street from me, from my front door. But
what's that got to do with cutting trees down?
Well, there's a lot of NSTAR issues.
Oh, okay, all right.
That's my point. There's a lot of NSTAR issues in my district. In fact, I'll tell you an amazing thing. The bill that we're supposed to be meeting on, conference committee, has a huge implication for ratepayers and NSTAR ratepayers. There's, I think, I can't remember the final version right now, but there's tens of millions of dollars in new fees we're going to assess to NSTAR that are going to be passed along to customers in this bill. So not only is it a tax increase bill, we're going to see a fee increase to utility users of NSTAR and National Grid in this bill. So it's a frustrating thing that you got issues with NSTAR on the local level, tree cutting, and I know my staff's been involved in discussions in that, and on the macro level with what we're doing with tax policy and utility rates. Very frustrating time, Kevin.
Bob, while you look across the street at that telephone pole, does the grass look a lot better now at your house?
I need water.
We'll keep water.
I can't bring water, so.
All right.
I know.
Well, Senator, we want to thank you for joining us this evening, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good one.
You got it, State Senator Bob Hedlund joining us. We're going to step aside when we come back. More Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.